This is Gas Bags. I'm Sophie Little. She's Anna Perro. This podcast is all about us discussing our non-profit business, Soundyards, playing each other nice sounds that we've found, and swapping podcast recommendations.
In Good Bits, we had someone new in our space, and we had the luxury of time at home.
In Bad Bits, the never-ending to-do lists.
My found sound was something that should have brought joy, but instead induced anxiety.
And in the podcast swap, I'm back with another podcast classic going into its fourth season.
And mine was gifted to me, and I'm gifting it right back at you.
Shall we jump into the good bits?
It's been a nice, quiet-ish week, really. Easter holidays, so it's a bit quieter on the streets anyway. Our workload is obviously still the same. We're putting out the same amount of podcasts and creating things, but it's meant that we haven't had to be so tied up to the office and we've been able to work from home.
What's your working from home situation looking like these days?
Essentially, it means putting on a film and my son watching that and sitting on me at the same time as I edit.
Where do you fit your laptop?
On the arm of the chair. And then him sitting on my right, usually with a smorgasbord of snacks. And he then watches that bit. And then when he gets to the scared bits, he snuggles in a bit more. And then when he's feeling confident, he's like, get away, I'm fine. And yeah, and all the time on the scary bits, I'm going, you do realise it's just the music and the dark colours that are making you feel scared. And he's like, yeah, it works though. I was like, yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. It works on me. But I've also escaped to my father and father-in-law's to do Zoom calls and to edit in peace when I've needed to. And it's been quite nice. What about you?
Mine tends to consist of me going up to my bedroom and sitting on top of my bed with my laptop, usually with a cup of tea. I tend to pick a time where there's sort of a flurry of activity elsewhere so I can sneak off and do that. And then I get a good run of time by myself to get some things done. I am chronically distracted though, and I do have some nice things in my bedroom, like a record player and some instruments. If I've got work stuff to do, I have to be super disciplined to not pick up a book or faff around.
I bought something this week that is going to be featured in the podcast to try and help my time management, and it hasn't worked at all.
Okay.
But I'll bring that up a little bit later.
Oh, I'm excited. What could it be? Yeah. Filofax?
Oh, God, I wish. Do you remember Filofax?
Do I remember? Until last year, I still used one.
Oh, my
God. It's
goodness.
Pink. It's pink snakeskin.
Sexy.
I know.
Oh, nice.
And it's not very me, but I loved it. Yeah.
Is there a diary within a Filofax?
What do you mean?
Well, is there a diary section? Because I love a physical diary. I used to have
a Filofax is a diary. I don't understand.
I thought a Filofax was just stuff that you kept stuff in, and like it had little sections. Yes.
No, it's mostly a diary. Mostly so you can buy all of the different. I'm going to go deep on Filofax now. You can buy all of the different sections. Yeah. So you can have a section for business cards you've collected if you want in their little plastic wallets. Wow. There's a little ruler that you can buy and put in there too. You can have a section with post-it notes that you can then, you know, cross-reference with throughout. You can buy world maps that you can put in there.
Tube maps?
Yeah, you can buy tube maps. You mostly get a Filofax to buy the diary inserts every year so that you don't have to buy a fresh diary every year.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. And then you can choose with your diaries as well. Do you want one that starts on a Sunday? Do you want a Monday one? Monday. I can't compute without a Monday start. Yeah. Do you want 7 days on two pages or do you want a day per page?
Oh, the choices are endless. I'm guilty of the fact that the only reason I've ever had a diary was to track my period. And now I don't even have one. Who knows where I am? Who knows?
I know.
There's no information in this diary at all, apart from some little crosses on some little dates every now and again. That's it.
I'm getting you for your birthday in December. It's perfect. It's aligned perfectly. I just need to write it down somewhere so I don't forget.
The contraceptive pill.
It's not a Filofax then.
It's not. But I thought it was going to improve my life, but it hasn't actually improved it at all. It's made it slightly worse, and it's all about managing time.
Wow, I'm intrigued. I'll have to wait till later. What's our next good bit?
We had a photographer in this week, didn't we, who was taking photographs of somebody for their headshots for their workplace, and they didn't want to do that in a cafe because they'd have felt very embarrassed or awkward or whatever. So they used the space here, which is great.
So we've got the space that we're recording in at the minute, which is our podcast studio, which is nice and small and intimate and cozy. But outside, beyond that, is a cavernous, huge space, which is where we do workshops. We use it as office space, and we can clear the decks and hire it out as well. And it's industrial looking and has lots of green plants too. That's the space that they used, isn't it?
Yeah, it's we're very on trend at the moment, I'd say, with our look in there and in here as well. The floor is beautiful pink vinyl, like salmon pink vinyl. And lovely concrete columns that take you up to quite a deep ceiling with lovely plants hanging from it.
And we spend a lot of time thinking about how we can use it more. But if anyone else wants to use it and you're in Norwich, come and have a look.
Please do. hello@soundyard.org. Bad bits then. We have, and we talk about this a lot, always got a to-do list. I think most people always have a to-do list. But we're noticing that we're never clearing the to-do list.
The difference for me is before, when I was freelance, I would have things on the to-do list, and then I'd have things that, you know, I could always add to that. I could be like, oh, I need to look for more work or update my website and stuff. But on the core to-do list, it was stuff that I could have a look at, stress out about, do and tick off. It might take longer than I expected. It might run over beyond the week I'm on or whatever. But it was this kind of manageable beast. Whereas our to-do list at the moment, it's like having so much stuff on multiple to-do lists. So it might be like the podcasts that we're making, finding work, marketing, looking after the building, do the admin of the building, doing the bookkeeping, looking at our diary, updating our website, doing the emails. I mean, I'm stressing out just listing these, knowing that that's not even the extent of it. But actually, it is completely impossible for you and I to clear those to-do lists. And what we end up having to do is take all of those to-do lists and triaging what needs doing, knowing that something is going to be neglected.
Yeah, or just never get done. It feels like you've got two tails that you're chasing. One is like a terrier tail that's going all the time, like you need to this one needs looking after constantly. And then you've got a big Labrador tail that's swooshing in the background, like, yeah, that needs addressing as well, because they're not happy either. But I'll just sort out the terrier first. I mean, that's a very weird analogy, but
I was completely in it, though, when you were saying that. I've never heard this analogy before.
No, but just welcome into my creative brain.
It describes it well, though. You're very right. For me at the minute, social media is something that I just keep dropping, because we'll have stuff that comes in that have deadlines, whereas social media is a really important tool when you're running a business. But I can't justify spending hours on that when we've got contractual obligations that need fulfilling by a certain time.
Yeah.
And so you neglect the social media, but then you think, like, and this is just one example, you think, oh, but then
for
what?
For me, on Thursday, we had a moment where we were getting stuff done, as we do, but we were also talking and thinking creatively. We had two really lovely ideas that came to the fore that were like, this could really make us good revenue. It could be a really sustainable idea as well. The other idea was something that I think might be done somewhere, but possibly not particularly well, or we could do maybe better and make quite a good community aspect out of it. So there were two really good ideas that we were talking about and developing whilst doing other things. And I was like, oh God, that's two more things now on the list. Stuff that we could do and should do, but it's actually getting that wheel in motion and doing it.
The setup to get those things out there and marketed and for people to know about it is so ginormous. I think that we're going to have to prioritise those in the next couple of weeks.
Or we get someone to do it for us. We also need to find Bernard's watch to pause time. If you never watched this 90s TV programme, kids TV programme, this lad could pause time with his watch. And that's what we need. Mm. So keep your eyes peeled, everyone, for Bernard's watch. My turn for found sound this week, and I've teased you for this one. And it's something that I bought in a charity shop the other day. And you'd seen that I'd bought it, and I bought lots of other very random things. I really went to town, didn't I?
going to charity shops is sort of becoming a thing for us, isn't it? I mean, it's been a thing for quite a long time for us, but it's becoming a regular sort of lunch break treat.
It is, yeah, yeah. I found a couple of Norwich Beer Festival glasses because I like to use those and reuse those. And a top, wearing it today. There we are.
Oh, you're wearing it. I love it.
Yeah. I'd never have been able to afford this, but I could because it was £3.50. Anyway, and I bought this one other item, which was quite small. And I thought this is going to resolve a working from home scenario that I'm faced with quite a lot at the time. Baby Billy loves shops, loves to play shops or museums. And he likes to pull down the fire guard, I don't know why, and put loads of things on the fireplace. It's obviously not on or lit up at the time, just, you know. And he likes to empty everything out of the living room and everything becomes a shop and you have to go and buy it. And then he'll tell you if it's too expensive. And we go along like that and it's quite good fun. He would do that ad infinitum. He would. For he would forego sleep to play museums and shops. So I've had to introduce something from that I bought from this charity shop, which is a timer, a cookery timer. So we're going to take a listen to it.
Oh, that's really stressful, Anna.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
So I thought, right, this is going to solve all my problems. But actually, it's put a pressure on play. And I don't want to use it anymore.
How long do you set it for if you're doing play?
If I've got work to do, and he's very good, and I sound like I'm being like a right monster. I have days where I play with him all day. So when I do have a podcast to edit and something that I need to get done, I will say, right, Billy, I have got 15 minutes for you. What do you want to do? Billy, put the timer on. It's also looking at numbers and stuff and understanding that time moves and stuff like that. But it was just the most awful experience because firstly, it made everyone jump, didn't it? Plays ended. So it was a horrible ending to that. And actually, it interrupted part of the game that it was the scanny bit. And I like the scanny bit and putting it into little bags to take home. And I thought, this is really, really harsh. Why have I introduced this ticky monster into our lives? So yeah, that's going back to the charity shop. Or I might bring it here.
You're not going to use it for cooking?
Nope.
Why?
I mean, can't cook. I reckon I'm going to help, is it? What's the point in having ready, steady cook in the background? It's like, you know, Ainsley Harriet's going to pop up any moment. Nothing can save me, especially not an egg timer.
Oh dear, please don't bring it here. Podcast swap time. Confession.
Okay.
I had a podcast that I wanted to bring to the table this week, but actually it was really deep.
You surprise me, Sophie, because yours are often so light and fluffy and easy to consume.
It was heavy going even for me. And while I really valued it, I just thought I need to just sit with it for a bit longer before I can even start to pull it apart and tell you about it. So I shelved that. I've listened to a lot of music this week as well, so my ears have been full of music rather than podcasts. But something I have listened to is the first episode of the new season of Serial.
Ooh.
So bringing this to the table, anyone that loves podcasts and knows a lot about podcasts or knows something about podcasts anyway, probably knows about Serial. So you'll just have to skip forward to Anna's recommendation if that's you. But I talked about Shit Town the other week, which is a podcast that was kind of born out of one of the producers of This American Life, which is a public radio show in the States and a podcast that's been going for what feels like hundreds of years. It's brilliant. I will bring that to the table one day when I've picked out my favourite episodes of that. Serial was a podcast that in 2014, the producers of This American Life made. Season one of Serial was an investigation into the 1999 cold case murder of Hay Mindley in Baltimore and whether Adnan Syed, who was convicted of the murder, had been wrongly imprisoned. It was a massive cultural moment, though.
It was the first podcast I'd ever listened to.
Really?
Yeah, it was the first one I'd ever... And I remember walking up and down our lane where we live and just listening to it and being just so hooked. It's so well made.
It's an incredible podcast series. I can remember listening to it and to the subsequent series series of it as well. I remember listening to season two, which was a totally different story focused on Sergeant Beau Bergdale, who was an American Army soldier held for 5 years by the Taliban, but then actually charged with desertion from the army. I remember listening to that on my boat when I lived on that and just being completely hooked on it. And my life was just felt wrapped up in this series. Season three was a bit of a departure from looking at one story and going deep on it. And instead, it was based within the Justice Center complex in Cleveland in the States. And each episode of season three explores a different case that was brought about there. So it was interesting. The New York Times bought Serial as a company, so now it's part of the New York Times. Anyway, season four is back. This series is all about telling the story of Guantanamo. And anybody that's probably much younger than us, I imagine, who would need an explanation of what Guantanamo is the US prison camp in Cuba, which was created after 9/11 in 2001. It was opened in 2002. And it was created to hold the hundreds of suspected Islamic militants that America captured after the 9/11 attacks on their war on terror. So George W. Bush is responsible for opening it, and it's remained open since, even though President Obama tried to close it. Biden has pledged that he wants to close it as well. It's housed 779 people for interrogation since then. I don't really know what to expect from this podcast, to be honest with you. It's been a few years since the last series of Serial. It's obviously changed hands now, being in, you know, owned by the New York Times, but you've still got the same host and same producer. The first episode of this is them going to Guantanamo, kind of scene setting, really. Even the first opening minutes of it really grabbed me. They're on this kind of media tour of the place. And Guantanamo Bay has three gift shops and have recently partnered with Disney to produce T-shirts and mugs and stuff like that. One of the slogans being, "It don't Gitmo better than this." Gitmo is like a nickname for Guantanamo Bay. There are people that have worked there that describe it as like a party-like atmosphere for staff over the years as well. And even that is just such a stark contrast to everything that I think of when I think of Guantanamo Bay. You know, the stories from prisoners who share that they've been tortured there. The fact that it's a military prison, it's designed to detain and interrogate people that haven't been charged with crime. Its placement of it is so intentional for that. They're being detained and interrogated indefinitely. Like the vast majority of prisoners have been there for over a decade without charge. And even Amnesty International condemns that as a breach of human rights. So you've got this like horrible, unjust place where people are suffering and three gift shops. Like I said, I haven't listened to all of the episodes of this, just the first one. In fact, there's only four out at the moment. But I want to see where it goes, and I want to see what stories they collect. But I also, and I think I trust them to do this. I think they've done it well in the past, but I just want it to be done sensitively.
Mm.
It feels like such an important story to tell on behalf of people that have been wrongfully detained there. Yeah, I don't know where it's going to go from this initial episode. I'm going to crack on with it this week and see what happens. But I guess I'm bringing it to the table today because I can't bring the one that I listened to in its completion to the table. But also, if you haven't gone onto Serial before, I would start with season one and listen back to that and understand that it was, I said this about Shit Town the other week, but this really was like a complete change of the landscape of podcasting and the place of podcasting within culture as well, and the way that people digest it. And also completely groundbreaking and transformative for true crime in the podcast world as well. And if you just want a stat to know just how popular Serial is, as of September 2018, so this is a well out of date stat, seasons one and two have been downloaded over 340 million times. Gosh. It holds an ongoing podcast world record.
Wow. My turn then. Now, this one came from one of my besties who knows me very, very well. And wow, all I can say is if you haven't listened to this one before, it is my gift to you. It is the gift of time.
You were obsessed with time this episode.
Obsessed with time. I've thought about time so much this week. It's really interesting. It's called The Long Time Academy. And it's a 6-part series with lots of bonus episodes as well that is really interesting. It discusses time and what it means to us and how we use it. They've got fascinating people from poets to journalists, composers, economists and geologists weaving their expertise into like this collage of time exploration. It's amazing. Now, we at the moment live very much in the short term. It's a cultural thing. It's almost a trend. It's how we are, I'm going to say, in the West, meaning Europe, UK, Canada, America, like we live in a very short term time frame.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, we don't really pause to think much about our ancestors and what they did for us and, you know, what their lives were like for us to then be at this stage. We very rarely think about the ground beneath us and how long that's been there for. We also very rarely think about life beyond ourselves either. We're sort of stuck in this very short-term life. Our overarching offering as humans is this ability to think beyond ourselves. It's one thing that sort of puts us apart from other mammals, from other things on the planet. Yet we deny death. A lot of us don't talk about death. We keep it in the backs of our minds and try not to think about it. Oh, that if someone gets a diagnosis that's not great, people are like, well, you know, don't talk about the negatives, just think about the positives. They won't even address it. They won't help talk people through it or guide or talk about fears like that or legacy. There's such a closed system where we deny our death. And we really want to consider now what we want our legacy to be. We'd probably be navigating a far healthier relationship with time if we did that. Not only does this podcast call out the pitfalls of our current existence for sort of only considering short term, when it comes to like economics, they talk about how our measure of GDP as a measure for success is really pointless. And they talk instead about how we should think about living within our means and how the institutions that ultimately decide for us how we live. Like, growth is seen as such like a positive thing, like when you grow up or there's been a growth in this. But actually, you can't grow constantly. There needs to be growth within a means. They talk about the donut theory of economics. They really make it quite simple to understand and digestible, which for me is absolutely brilliant. But they also do the fact that, like, if you have a tree and the timber is worth this much, you haven't calculated what that loss has cost the ecosystem. You haven't looked at how the soil degradation is the result of it and what that means for that piece of land. You haven't accosted for all of those extra things. It's a bit like the care society. Like, people have jobs, but how much are people caring for their children and how should that be thought of in a monetary value? Caring for their other family members, like, what is a job and what equals growth and performance and success? And so they've questioned all of that and they bring all of that up. I've had to go back and re-listen to episodes over and over again, which actually, now I think about it, is ironically quite a waste of time. But I think in taking on as much of this information as I can feel a bit better about my mortality and like the point of myself. They talk about the death positivity movement, death doulas. They explore music. It's an amazing podcast for that. It really makes you think about all of the senses around you. It's also made me consider time as a real gift and a hugely true value. And rather cheesily, it's made me want to thank you for listening to us. Because for people to like mark out their day to listen to us gas bags, it's a really meaningful thing for me to think that we're worth listening to and like people gifting us their time in their brain space. And I think that's just remarkable to think that people do. And it's really kind. There are 6 episodes in all, and they're about just over an hour long. And it really is the best gift I think I've ever been given. So it's The Long Time Academy, made in collaboration with Long Time Project, Headspace Studios and Scenery Studios. And it's my gift to you.
Oh, I love a gift. Thanks, Anna. Mm. And as a reminder, mine was cereal. Go and just search cereal podcast, you'll find it.
Not the edible cereal.
No, not C-E. I can't spell it.
Not C-E. Your golden nuggets. Not your corn flakes.
Not your Curiously Cinnamon.
C-E-R-I-A-L.
Cereal. Earlier on, we talked about our big space that we have here at Soundyard and our little space in the studio. And if you want to learn more about Soundyard in general, which is our company and the place that we make gas bags from, head to our website.
It's soundyard.org.